All right, we're going to starting Shoftim Perek Beis. And this is a review and an introduction to the rest of the book of Shoftim. We had one introduction, we had one setting of the stage, now they're setting the stage. The Navi sets the stage and explains what is going to happen. And what are the consequences of what B'nai Yisrael do and how the history fits into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tochnit. It starts off, Vayamara Hashem min HaGilga El HaBochi. Amarach of Hashem. Malach HaVashem goes up from Gilgal to Bochim. Gilgal is what? What do we know about Gilgal? Gilgal is where the Mishkan is for the time of Yeshua, the 14 years before it's moved to Shiloh. Okay? The Mishkan, when they come into Eretz Yisrael, it's set up temporarily in a place called Gilgal. After the time of Yeshua, it's moved to a more permanent type of place in Shiloh. Now, in Shiloh, the Mizbeach is surrounded in stone. There's different kinds of quasi-permanence. Gilgal, it's just as it is in the desert. But in Gilgal, if a Malach is coming, why do they say he came from Gilgal? What does it mean a Malach is coming from Gilgal? The Mefarshim say this was not an angel, but rather a messenger. Malach can be a messenger, it can be an angel. Mefarshim say this was a messenger. Gilgal is the place where the Mishkan was set up. And they therefore say that this messenger was Pinchas. Pinchas is... He is the grandson of Moshe. He has a special bris shalom. He has a special covenant of peace. He is the, in a minute we'll talk about, he's the Kohen Mashiach Milchama at this time. He's the one who leads the fighting. He will become the Kohen Gadol. He may already have been the Kohen Gadol after his father passes away. And he lives for a very long time. Many people say that he is called Eliyahu later on, Eliyahu HaNavi, and that he never dies. So Pinchas is an important personage. He is in Gilgal because Gilgal is the center of the... is where we said what is in Gilgal? The Mishkan, which means that where do the Kohanim have a leadership. The hierarchy of the Kohanim is the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest. We also have the Kohen we have a deputy and we have a Kohen that is Mashiach HaMilchama, goes out, leads the people in war. But the hierarchy of the Kohanim lived in Gilgal, around the Mishkan. So therefore they say, since it says that they came from Gilgal, it's referring to Pinchas. It was not a Malach from Shamayim, but a Malach from New York. I mean Gilgal. And it goes to Habochim. We don't know what Habochim, we don't know exactly where Habochim is. We know that it means crying. It's going to be the name that's going to be given because of this story. Right now it doesn't have any name. Many of the Mefarshim say that since there is a Karbanot, the people, after the Malach comes, the people bring sacrifices, that this has to be Shiloh, where the Mishkan is currently situated, because you couldn't bring a sacrifice in a bama. You couldn't bring a separate, independent altar when you have the Mishkan set up. When the Mishkan is in existence, before the Mishkan, you can have a bama wherever you want. You can bring an altar wherever you want. In Israel, outside of Israel, there's a little bit of a disagreement, but in Israel, you could bring it over here on the street.
Only before the Mishkan existed.
Only before the Mishkan. When the Mishkan exists, you can only bring it at the Mishkan. When the Mishkan is destroyed, you go revert back to the ability to have a bama wherever. Once the base of Migdash is built, even after the base of Migdash is destroyed, you cannot build a bama. You cannot build an independent, private altar. So the people, the Mefarshim tied Abochim as being Shilo. Now, in Pasuk Beis, in the end of Pasuk Aleph, Vayom Alem, Asamotzi Mimitzrayim Aviyah, Eschem Aharetz, Asher Nishbata Avoseichem. The first thing he introduces in his message is that God promised you that he would bring you to Israel and that he's never going to nullify that covenant. And then he proceeds. God told you not to make a covenant with the Bnei Israel, with the Bnei Canaan, with the people that live in the area. And you haven't done that. And these people are going to be for you thorns. They're going to be problematic. And they will be a mokesh, a place where that you can stumble, where that you can sin. Now again, the usage of these words are tied to different concepts. A mokesh is a stumbling block in halacha. These people can be stumbling blocks for you to do sins. They provide a situation where we maintain your... You could view it as we maintain your freedom of choice. These people provide for you this ability to sin. And the covenant that God has made with you is for you to understand that your existence in Eretz Yisrael is not dependent upon your worldly ability. Your existence, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, is dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the message that the Pinchas brings to them. And he continues, he talks about Yeshua. And the people, when they hear this message, they start crying. And the reason for that is the rest of the book of Shoftim, and perhaps the rest of the history of the Jewish people. We'll read in the next few psukim. That what happens is that Bnei Yisrael are pulled to worldly things. Bnei Yisrael are pulled to what is PC, what is politically correct. Is pulled to what the people around them are doing. Are pulled to say that their success is due to themselves. We'll come in a little bit to idol worship and what idol worship means and how it gets started. But this is the pull that exists and still exists today. And the history, as we'll see, the brief history is now Israel are living, they get comfortable, they forget how they got where they are and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them. And then the world, or the neighbors, or whoever is the messenger at the time, oppresses them. And that oppression builds until they understand that they are not the ones that are capable of making, of saving themselves, that they aren't dependent upon themselves, and they turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends them a leader, and the leader saves them, either through miracles, open miracles, or hidden miracles. They remember that during their lifetime, or until they get older and they forget, and the cycle starts again. This is the history of Shoftim. This is the history if you look at the newspaper. If you look at, you can look at modern history exactly the same way. We have different kinds of idols. Our idol worship is different than theirs. But many people say that our pursuit of worldly goods is a form of idol worship. Many people argue that our pursuit of individual comfort, our individual position, our individual power is a form of idol worship. It's not idol worship that is punishable by the prohibition, but it has in it the common denominator of rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu and attributing the goal to ourselves. You know, the class, somebody asked, basically, if we summarize it, I can give you my non-politically correct way of summarizing it. How to become a Talmid Chacham for dummies? How do you become a scholar for dummies? They're asking how to become somebody who fears God, or how to become somebody who understands. And the answer is there isn't a way of doing that with a book or without opening your eyes and seeing and feeling what's around you. It requires a knowledge of history. It requires the ability to take that and apply it to yourself. It requires a memory that's integrated, and it requires a good intent. What that means is going to depend on an individual. But in Shoftim, in this period, this is what the Malach Hashem is telling them. You've come out of Egypt. God has promised you. He's taken you out of Egypt. He's promised that He'll take you to Israel. He's taken you to Israel. And He promised you this promise that will be there forever. And that promise is never going to be broken. But He's also given you the choice so that you can have the choice of how and what you do. The same message could be given today. All right. The people call the name of the city Bochim. Bochim is what tense? Bochim is a present tense. It's currently crying. Not in Hebrew. The nuances of any language are useful to define the thought process, but we have in Hebrew different tenses. Past, the future, and the present. They call the city Bochim, which means we're crying now, because they wish to say that the crying needs to be continually, every now. We need to have this message. All right. It goes on, and this is again the history of Ishak. Yeshua and Bavi sends them. He sent them to their house, and the Bnei Yisrael during the time of Yeshua, when they had their leader and the leader's cabinet, the elders, the Zekanim. It says in Perek Avos, Moshe kibol Torah miSinai u'Masar liYeshua. Moshe got the Torah from God and Mount Sinai, and he gave it to Yeshua. That's the major line. Yeshua Moser Lizakanim, and Yeshua gave it to the elders. The elders, there are several sets of elders. One is the elders at that time, and then the elders are the people of Shoftim. And that is summarized over about 800 years, the elders. But the elders of Yeshua's time, during the time that they were alive, they continued serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. The principle is that each generation gets the leader that it needs. And each generation receives a leader that is suitable to that generation. Since yesterday we went over, we're going to use that to jump off to someplace else. And we'll start with the current Navi. And as we say, it is crucial for our understanding not to think that Navi is a book that was written and is a history book or a set of Musa. We have to look at Navi as a way of reading the newspaper too, amongst other things. Yesterday, amongst other news, there was a former cabinet minister who is a current member of Knesset that was found guilty of an offense.
Of what?
Of what, you ask? He was charged... What?
Because you said a word. He was guilty of something.
An offense.
An offense.
Okay?
He was guilty of something. And because of he was found guilty of that, he had to resign from the Knesset, but he can run for the next Knesset.
He can.
Now, what he was charged with was appointing his people from his political party to positions of positions in the government or controlled organizations. He was found innocent of that charge. However, he was found guilty of essentially lying or bragging that he did that before he was charged. And they had a vote in the court system and said, don't have to go to prison, he's not guilty of this, he's guilty of lying and therefore he can't be in the Knesset, but it's not such a bad way of lying and therefore he can be in the Knesset. The question, the individual is important, and it's important to understand the nuances, but we aren't going to go there. What we're going to go to is the difference in governmental systems and how that works in terms of the Navi, in terms of the Melech, how it's working in Shoftim, how it's working in the Malchus, what the concept of Mashiach means, what does it mean in terms of the current government of Israel, or maybe even get to other places.